This workshop at the local church was just winding up. And there was about 25 people who had all taken part of this workshop regarding the topic of worship. And that morning, they had talked about different topics, the role of music, should children come up for a blessing during the Lord's Supper, and other pertinent issues. And then the pastor asked, "Does anyone have any other questions?" Most people just kind of smiled as they sat around that circle of metal folding chairs. And then one woman raised her hand and said, "You know, there's something I've always wondered about. Why do we bother with Maundy Thursday?" The question came out of the blue. It was sometime in October. It wasn't even close to Holy Week. And the pastor said, "I'm not really sure what you're asking." And then she clarified this question. "Christians are Easter people. We celebrate the resurrection of Jesus Christ. So why do we bother with Maundy Thursday?" And the pastor said, "Well, do you have a problem with the death of Jesus? Or do you have concerns about the crucifixion or his trial or things like that?" "No," she said. "Good Friday is essential to this story. You can't celebrate the resurrection if no one died. Jesus died, and that death holds great significance. No, what I want to know is why do churches in the area, why do they celebrate a service on Maundy Thursday? It is such a dark and gloomy night with all this talk about the 30 pieces of silver and the garden scene and Peter's denial. It's depressing. I know the story's in the Bible, but why do we have to honor it with a worship service? Why not remember the cross on Good Friday and the resurrection on Easter? Isn't that enough?" It was obvious from the confused glances that the question had dampened the enthusiasm of the group. This person was questioning the purpose of honoring a well-respected church holy day. As she put it, "Why do we bother with Maundy Thursday?" St. Mark thought it was important enough to at least mention this story in his very short gospel. He notes that this day, called Maundy Thursday, was the last time that Jesus would have dinner with his favorite friends. He wrote that these events would become the acid test of true discipleship. Jesus ate a Passover meal with the 12 disciples, announcing that sometime during that day, one of the people in the inner circle would betray him. And so after singing a hymn, they went out to the Mount of Olives, and Jesus warned them that they would all desert him. And as he prayed in the garden, his closest friends fell asleep. And then while Jesus was still chastising them, Judas appeared with a gang of thugs and betrayed him with a kiss. And with that, all of them deserted and fled. And for many Christians, we feel that we need to watch and stay faithful, and then you can truly belong to Jesus' inner circle. So is that the whole story? Have you ever really thought about this? Why do we bother with Maundy Thursday? Some people think that Maundy Thursday lies at the heart of true Christian discipleship. And if we cannot watch and wait and feel just a little bit guilty, then we don't really know what it means to follow Jesus Christ. That is, the story of Jesus' final evening is intended to evoke a recognition of our sinful nature. Jesus says, "Truly I tell you, one of you will betray me. One of you who is eating with me." And those around him cry out, "Surely you're not talking about me, Lord." Are those around you today crying out now? Or do you feel guilty for your sinful nature? Do you have this need to sing these words of this very famous hymn? "Who was the guilty? Who brought this upon you? It is my treason, Lord, that has undone you. 'Twas I, Lord Jesus, it was denied you. I crucified you." Yes, we crucified him. All of us crucified him. But now, do you feel truly forgiven? The church tells us that the Lord's Supper is for the forgiveness of our sins. However, there are people on this earth who don't really believe that. They don't accept that. They come to the Lord's table. They come to church for other reasons. There was a pastor who received some criticism from a member of his congregation. And the member said, "Reverend, the problem with you is that every Sunday you stand up there and you tell me that I'm forgiven. Obviously, you don't know how evil I am. Otherwise, you wouldn't forgive me so much." And the pastor rightfully explained how we are justified with God by grace through faith. And then this man replied, "Reverend, you're not getting it. You don't understand. The only reason I come to church is so I can feel guilty about my sins." Personally, I feel that there are actually people out there that believe that. In the Lord's Supper, we receive total forgiveness of all of our sins. We receive life. We receive salvation. We are therefore strengthened in our faith. And Christ mandates and commands us to receive the Lord's Supper. That is why they call it Maundy Thursday. It's a Latin word which means to command. This story is fleshed out in the final meal that Jesus ate with his friends. And he took that bread and he blessed it and he broke it and he gave it to them and he gives it to us. You see, the bread and wine are not given to test our faithfulness. They are not mentioned to toss believers into this murky pool of grotesque guilt. The loaf and the cup are given and received as spiritual gifts. Through these gifts, our relationship with Christ is nourished. Our only appropriate response to such generosity is a word of thanks. Taken without a sense of gratitude, the story that we heard from the Gospel of Mark becomes subject to an unduly sorrowful interpretation. It is the story of the Last Supper, the final time that Jesus would be with his disciples. And this is a sad story. Think about it. Judas has just cut a deal with the chief priests. He's going to hand over Jesus just for a few coins. This is the last time Jesus will commune with his closest friends. Jesus will be taken prisoner that evening. The shadow of gloom is so heavy here, you can cut it with a knife. And unfortunately, this grim, thankless mood has been perpetuated as some Christians gather at the table for communion. Instead, it is our duty and our delight to observe the Lord's Supper. We need to understand there's a profound difference between the Lord's Supper and the Last Supper. The Last Supper was a night filled with anguish and abandonment and loss. We celebrate the Lord's Supper, which is the feast of our risen Lord. And we cannot come to this table and pretend that Easter has not happened. Christ has risen. And that reality is the means by which we come to this table. We come not merely in repentance, but we come in gratitude. God has raised up Jesus, and we come not to mourn him, but to receive the gift of his life. For isn't that what he says? "Take, this is my body." Or to paraphrase it, he says, "This is the essence of my life. I put it into your hands." And then Jesus gives his blood to establish a relationship with us. "I give you my life. I claim you as my own." Christian faith is nourished through receiving and responding to this gift. Jesus' words touch us in a very special way. He combines these words with the elements of bread and wine. He commands us to eat and drink these elements, to take them into our body. And since the bread is his body and the wine is his blood, Jesus comes into us through the physical elements. In other words, Jesus wants us to identify with us. He wants to be one of us, to crawl under our skins, to become part of us. Here it is. The Lord's Supper is one of the Christian's highest privileges on earth. Through the body and blood of the sacrament, Jesus comes closer to us than any other time on this earth. Today, you will experience this mystical union with him. And with the help of the Holy Spirit, it can be a transfiguration experience. It can be a situation of ecstasy. And in a mystical way that we don't fully understand, you will commune with your past family members who are now in heaven, with angels and archangels and all the company of heaven. It is as Paul says here, "I live, yet not I, but Christ lives in me." In the light of this, why would you not want to take the Lord's Supper? The Lord's Supper is God addressing us through all five of our senses. This is God trying to communicate with us in a way that is deeper than just words. Every part of us is engaged as we receive this meal. Today, You will hear the words of institution as they are spoken by Pastor Ben. You will smell the wine as you lift that cup to your lips. You will feel that wafer in your hands, and you will feel the lightness of the cup. You will actually taste the bread and the wine. You will see the light reflected off the silver in these communion trays. In communion, God is attempting to reach you at the most fundamental level. You take Christ into your life, not just through the taste, but through your eyes and your ears, through your senses of touch and smell. Communion is God reaching out to you in every way that he possibly can. I want to close this sermon by telling you a story. You know this story well. However, there's probably a part of this story that you never heard before. We all know that in July 1969, Neil Armstrong and Buzz Aldrin landed on the moon. But now, Buzz Aldrin had decided that once the module was set down on the moon, he would celebrate the Lord's Supper. Listen as he describes these events. We awoke at 5:30 a.m. Houston time. Now was the moment for communion. So I unstowed the elements in the flight packages. I put them and the scripture reading on a little table in front of the abort guidance system computer. And then I called back to Houston. Houston, this is Eagle. I would like to request a few moments of silence. I would like to invite each person listening in, wherever and whoever he may be, to contemplate for a moment the events of the past few hours and give thanks in his own individual way. You see, you get to have an understanding that for Aldrin, his way of giving thanks was to have Holy Communion. He describes the moment like this. In the blackout, I opened the little plastic packages, which contained bread and wine. I poured wine into the chalice my parish had given me. In the 1/6 gravity of the moon, the wine curled very slowly and gracefully up the cup. And it was interesting to think that the very first liquid ever poured on the moon and the first food eaten there were communion elements. Just before I partook of the elements, I read the words which I had chosen to indicate our trust that as human beings probe into space, we are in fact acting in Christ. I sense especially strongly my unity with our church back home and with the church everywhere. And then I read these words. I am the vine. You are the branches. Whoever remains in me and I in him, the same bringeth forth much fruit. For without me, you can do nothing. This is the reason why we bother with Maundy Thursday. The table set before you today tempers the Easter life with the reality of the cross. The gifts of this supper are given in the midst of suffering. They are the signs of grace and signals of God's love for us. These are promises given to us in a world of tragedy and suffering and death. And maybe that's why we often take such a little piece of bread and such a tiny cup. We have only a taste of what it means to belong to Christ. It is never the whole experience. That is to come. But in this world, it is simply a taste. But oh, how beautiful it is. Amen.